Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. We're a little light on our voices for today, but that's good. Two or more gathered, right? I think before we get started, I would like to share with our listening audience. I'm sure many of you are aware that for the past more than 2 years, we've been working on bringing to reality a ministry that fills a gap, a much needed ministry within our community, and that's our Women and Children's Center. And so for our listening audience, I'd like to share with you that we're finally at the final stages, and we're on track to open the doors and help the most vulnerable in our community, women and children, on August 13th, here in just less than 2 weeks. So thank you to all of you who have helped support that endeavor. I pray that you will continue to support and participate in that ministry to our most vulnerable neighbors. So praise God for that. On this week's edition of Word Made Flesh, I really wanted to talk about something that that kind of jumped out at me in my own devotional time. And I think it's an interesting thought that I'd like to have us kind of banter about, discuss, have a dialogue, see what your thoughts are on that. But I was reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. It's about the anointment, beginning at verse 6 through 13. But I'd like to preface our reading in the sense that this reading comes right after Jesus has given this long, in chapter 25, direction and teaching, primarily to his adversaries, scribes, Pharisees, and the like. Upon the beginning of chapter 26, he then says, well, Passover is here in a few days, gentlemen, speaking to his disciples. And I want to let you know that they're going to arrest me and crucify me. And then right after that, it turns around and it's proven by Matthew, where he puts on the lips of the Pharisees and scribes that they're going to seek to kill him by stealth, right, without anybody knowing. And then we have this event, right, that takes place, and it's the anointing of Jesus. So, Eric, would you be so kind as to kind of read for us Matthew 26, beginning at verse 6 through 13.
Jesus anointed at Bethany. Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment. She poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her."
Very good, thank you. Wherever this good news is going to be shared, we need to remember what this woman has done. This woman has wasted money. All right, do you think that's what he meant for us to remember? Right. And that's really what I want to talk about. The line that jumped out in my recent devotion was, why this waste? And I think when we hear the story, there are those that they're not even criticizing the scent or anything like that. It's a monetary. We could have done something else with this. This potential financial gain has been wasted. Right? They miss what's really going on. And I like what Jesus has to say. No, this is beautiful. That somehow what we think is wasted, he seems to think is beautiful. how do you think he comes to that conclusion? You know, that this is beautiful. She obviously has heard what he said. They're going to come and, right, arrest me and crucify me. Aware that the hour is at hand. And then has this beautiful act of waste. And so I want to challenge you to think, it, if it's beautiful, is it really wasted? Because I think some of our perspective is, you know, this is wasted. We could have done this. And, we use language like, you know, I spent so much time, I spent so much money, I spent so much energy. You know, it's just a waste of time. It's, you know, right? It's spent. I can't get it back, and et cetera, et cetera. And somehow or another, Jesus is recognizing it's not wasted. And before we went on the air, as we were prepping for this, I mentioned it's an interesting parallel if we looked at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, about the road to Emmaus, right? You got these two guys that travel with Jesus. He all of a sudden appears, and however long they would travel with him, they're heading back home, kind of tail between their legs. We get this picture, right? And they don't, not recognizing, you know, hey, what's going on? What are you, some goof? You haven't heard? Just come to town, you know, and you got to imagine people in the first century, you know, your family, right, this long-haired, itinerant, Mediterranean, peasant, Jewish rabbi comes along, and you tell mom and dad, I'm going to go follow this guy, and they're like, you know, are you going to go join the circus? You know, I mean, it's kind of that mentality, and guess what? The circus leaves town, and now you got to go home. You know, and I said, I told you, son, you picked the wrong guy. What a waste of your life. Right? So, I mean, it's hard to go home because you think you failed. It was a waste. And Jesus then reminds them, like, what? It's not a waste. Don't you remember what the law and the prophets said? That this is what's got to happen to the Messiah? So everything, all these centuries you think has been a waste, that this is really what's supposed to happen. So I want to challenge this, and I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. And I think really what we hear Jesus saying to his disciples with the woman and the perfume, as well as the man on the road to Emmaus, is this idea that nothing is ever wasted. And have you ever thought in your own life, you know, I wasted this, I wasted that? It's like, no, this is what's got to take place. So even your dark nights, your moments of conflict, your suffering, your tribulations, your testings, all these things, your temptations, things that you identify as failure, do you feel like they were wasted?
Our whole concept of money as American Christians is a dead president, right? You know, just a dollar bill. So I think it's interesting. Jesus spends all this time in a time denarii or whatever existed, spends all this time teaching us about through money parables, teaches us all this worth and value stuff and breaks it down beyond the actual legal tender to the humanness of the person. Everything he kind of, a huge core vein of what he is showing us is, look how much we've altered our value system into a thing and not the gift instead of the giver type thing. I think it's very interesting in this, the amount, like the value, the Oxnard or Valerian or whatever, this expensive perfume, it's super valuable. And it's almost sometimes Jesus' intentionality behind the thing that's actually going on to say, hey, look, not only is she pouring some, it's very, 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 it's worth a lot what she's pouring out. Not only do I want to prove this point to you, but I want to drive it home, kind of sometimes. And it's easy, I think, to gloss over those things and just read over them in the gospel and look at the kind of the Sunday school picture of it and lose a lot of the context with what things were worth and kind of what he's trying to show us.
I love your connection to the economic value system. because in there, in that kind of thinking, we tend to identify that things are of value based on their outcomes. What's been accomplished? What have I been successful with? You know, and that's what they're judging. It's like, you know, no, this money could have been used elsewhere. You know, we could have had a better outcome. We could have accomplished this with that. He calls this, no, you're looking at it the wrong way. You can't look at it from an economic value system. It's a human value system. Her act is beautiful because she connected compassionately with my humanness. And what kind of value do you put on that? Are we really? As a matter of fact, if we were, just for clarification, let me interject this. If you were scooted down, he goes, look at the poor you have with your always. Which is really, he's being sarcastic, going, look at, if you truly had me, if you truly were connected to me compassionately, you wouldn't have poor around you. Which is what we see in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and chapter 4. Right? The early church, there's the eradication of poverty. No one went without. So if we're really connected, right, with the Christ, right, with the human one, Jesus, we will reach out in compassion to those who are suffering and help eliminate their suffering, because that's what he did. As a matter of fact, where are they gathered? Simon the leper's house. The compassionate one comes to those who are suffering. And then the woman, who in that day and age is not recognized really from a class perspective, of having a whole lot of value anyways. So you're right, this idea of downward mobility, right? The weak and the vulnerable are the ones who seem to connect compassionately to where those who find value in economic standards, they can't connect to that. And in doing so, out of that compassion, then isn't everything, then nothing is wasted if we're connected compassionately. Nothing's ever. And sometimes, gentlemen, if you think about your own lives where you've made, I failed, you know, I attempted this, and maybe a relationship, maybe a job, I gave it my best, but the outcome wasn't accomplished. Well, be compassionate with yourself.
Right? I definitely think that, which then means that setting that idea is, who set that standard? Who set that expectation in your life?
Right.
And it's you.
Yes.
So you have to look deep inside of you to realize that it wasn't wasted. Because there's good within it. There's something great within it. So we see it. I've been around this ministry for a long time, and I've seen, you know, people come and go. And a lot of times, even myself or like other people who volunteer to give their time and stuff like that, we can't do this work and have expectations, full expectations on people. Because if this is their journey, it's not. My journey is to walk with them, to be active in their journey to recovery in life, and to really just heal and have hope, because that's the real recovery. The recovery isn't recovering from drugs, it's recovering from the emotional pain inside of themselves. So my job is just to be there with them as they walk through it, and to have an expectation that they're going to be at a certain level or time when I think they should be, is baloney. I mean, it's crazy. And then to me to throw a fit and leave from that and think that I wasted my time and energy with them is screwed thinking. It's the wrong thinking, because if you were with him and you really believe in what Christ is telling us, you're going to continue to work hard and give everything you have to it for that person to have a glimpse of hope, in hopes that they will return back to him.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your feedback and sharing with our listening audience on this edition of Word Made Flesh. Till we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.